So we hear a lot of bad news, don't we? A lot of bad news is around us, but I'm here this morning to share some good news with you. thank you for the encouragement. So this morning, the title of my message is So Good, because I believe that God is so good. And this morning I want to talk about, you know, because we often say in church, don't we, well, God's so good and the Lord is good. But what do we mean when we say he is good? What is good about God? And what does the Bible say about God being good? So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And as you know, I released my album So Good in November. And I'm going to go through the things that I wrote about why God is good, which is all based on scripture. And so those are basically some of the points I'm going to make. I don't have time to make all of them this morning, because there's actually so much we could say about what the Bible says about God being good. So I've just picked a few of them to share with you. So I want to read out Psalm 34 that Bill read for us wonderfully earlier, but I want to read it again in the Message translation, just so that we really get this into us, okay? I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. Yeah. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. Yeah. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. Come children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait each day to come upon beauty. Guard your tongue from profanity and no more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin, do something good. Embrace peace, don't let it get away. God keeps an eye on his friends. His ears pick up every moan and groan. Yeah. God won't put up with rebels. He'll cut them from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. Yeah. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the guts, he'll help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. He's your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to him loses out. And I read this before I wrote the song So Good. And I thought, wow, God is so good, and isn't this true? So the first point that I just want to make is that God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. If you don't know what Jehovah Jireh means, it's basically a way of saying that God is our provider. Jehovah is Hebrew for God, and we have these names, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, and Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord will provide. The first time we read it is Genesis 22:14, where Abraham names that place, God sees to it, or the Lord will provide. I just want to read Philippians 4:19 as well. It says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So we can ask God for what we need. We can just ask him directly. We don't need to sweet talk him. And how many of y'all, you want a favour from somebody? You're about to ask them a question. You're a little bit nervous about it. So you're like, oh, hey, you're looking really well today. You know, you kind of sweet talk them, don't you? And you build it up. Do you know what? We don't need to do that with the Lord. We can just ask him directly. And I was in Victory Church in Wales last weekend. Thank you so much for those that were praying for me and the team. And Pastor Clyde was talking about something, and I wish I could remember the way that he phrased it, because it was so much better than the way that I will probably phrase it. But he was talking about how when we are spreading the news, when we're spreading the word about God's goodness, sometimes our needs won't be met. In that sometimes our needs aren't met in the way that we want from the church. And that's just the way it is. And we have to be prepared to say sometimes, hey, my needs might not be met here in the way that I want, but I'm still going to be obedient to the Lord. Yeah. And you see, God cares for us. And if we have faith, however we're feeling, whatever we're going through, we'll be just fine. So I want to remind us this morning that God is on our side and that he wants to take care of all our needs. We can just ask him. Matthew 7:2-11 says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? Yeah. Philippians 4 talks about letting our requests be made known before God. He's always there and he's always got an open ear to us. Psalm 34:6, when I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. We can come to God and ask him at any time for what we need. Because God is concerned with our well-being. Yeah. You see, if our well-being is complete, our circumstances become much less relevant and we are much more able to deal with them. I want to be able to say it is well with my soul. And I thank God that I can say that. And in this world, there are so many complicated, damaged lives that can lead to a myriad of difficulties and complications that are faced. And in the Bible, there are so many things that we're maybe not given a direct answer about. And we're negotiating life with the information that we have from God. But ultimately, whatever that information, if it is well with our soul, because God is providing for us and we are allowing him to sustain us, then we can navigate our way through difficult circumstances. You know, what do you do when somebody in your family dies or is killed? How do you tell somebody that your brother has just died? If you've got that well-being, if you can say, it is well with my soul, if you're allowing God to uphold your soul, to sustain you, you can get through these things. However desperate you are, God is listening, even if it doesn't feel like that. Let's remember that. Who do you go to when you're in a tight spot? Who's the first person? That makes me think of the Ghostbusters tune. I can know some of y'all are agreeing with me. But who do we call? Who do we go to? Let it be God, because he will get you out of a tight spot. Can someone give me an amen here? Amen. You know, Bill, I love Bill's story. What an encouragement that is to us, and what a testimony that is. You know, Bill's looking for a job, and he's got this great job now that they created for him, and I'm sure that Bill will share more of the story with us. But, you know, that's an amazing testimony of God's provision. And, you know, Bill had to wait a little while until that happened, patiently. But you know, God provided, and he now has that job. Yeah. And my dad was sharing the story with me, just reminded me of when his eyes were instantly healed. And I know he shared the story in this church many times, but he reminded me that he prayed persistently for 3 years before that happened. Yeah. And sometimes we have to be a little bit patient until we see what we want to see. But I just want to encourage you this morning that God provides, that he is good to us. And I have this story, I think I've already shared it before, although you'll have to forgive me because sometimes I lose track. But there was a part of my album that I really wanted to get finished for a deadline so that it could actually come out this year. And I needed a certain amount of money to be able to do that for some time in the studio. And I hadn't told anyone about this. I hadn't told even my family. I hadn't told anyone. And I just thought, Lord, I really would like this. I need this, actually, if I'm going to get my album out by the end of the year. And, you know, somebody at church came up to me, literally like the day after, and gave me the exact amount of money that was needed. And they said to me, the Lord has told me to give you this. I thought, wow, I thought, I've always wanted one of those stories. You know, because you always hear them in church, don't you? You always hear them, oh, the Lord gave me the exact amount, and I've grown up in church, and I've always heard them, and it never happened to me yet, but it did happen, which was amazing, and that was great. So keep praying, and just believe, you know, believe that God will show his goodness to us. But talking about that, money can often be the first thing that we think of when we think about God's provision, can't it? And it's often the first thing that we can talk about when we think about how God's going to provide for us. But I also just want to remind us that actually God provides for us in lots of ways. He provides for us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He provides for our every need. It's not just the money to pay the bills, okay? It's the strength to get through the day, okay? It's the strength to keep a sound mind. We could give examples all day long and more, couldn't we, in here of how God has been good to us. And we see example after example, time after time in the Bible of when God, he's good to his people and he provides. And I know that this year is going to be great when we're going to get to hear some more of those testimonies and stories that celebrate. The next thing that I just want to remind us of this morning is that God is the source of our joy. What is joy? What do we actually mean when we say joy? Well, joy is not the same as happiness. As Christians, as humans, let's be honest, we're not always going to feel happy. And in this room, we have many different personalities. Some of us are bubbly and smiley. Some of us are maybe a little bit less smiley. Okay, I'll stop there. But joy is more than a feeling. In fact, joy is not actually a feeling. Happiness is temporary. It comes and goes. But joy is a confident assurance that God is taking care of us and that things will be all right in the end. When I say that things will be all right in the end, I don't mean that we get what we want or that things turn out the way that we want them to. But the knowledge that actually one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth. All this will pass away and that we will have eternal life with God on our side as we praise him through every situation. See, joy is a choice. Joy is something that is much deeper than happiness. Joy means to rejoice, to delight. And it also actually means the awareness of God's grace and favour. So joy is a choice. You can have a hell of a week, but when you have an awareness of God's grace and you delight in him, when you make that choice, you've got something inside you that is so powerful, you can help change the world. Look at Paul. He rejoiced despite his sufferings. The Bible tells us to rejoice in our sufferings. And last weekend, I'm just going to talk about Wales again. I got up the morning that we were setting off and I felt really ill. This bug's been going round a lot of people that I know. And I didn't feel good at all. And I thought, we're going to go and we're going to do this. And we're going to praise. We're going to make that choice that we will praise. And I had a word with the band and we kind of thought, well, what shall we do if I can't sing? And I shared this with the church on Sunday. I said, nothing is going to stop me from praising the Lord with everything that is within me. And I want to encourage you today, this morning, let nothing stop you from choosing to be joyful and choosing to praise the Lord because he is so good to us. And the reality is actually, that was just one weekend where I wasn't feeling so well, but some of you in here are facing some much bigger things and some of you are facing some horrendous situations. And I just want to encourage you this morning to choose to be joyful. You know, I love how Jesus talks to Peter about building the church and how he says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I just felt prompted this morning just to remind us of that, that the enemy can throw everything at us, but the church still stands. And this week you might have had everything thrown at you. In fact, this Christmas might be, you might be listening now and this Christmas might be going really wrong for you. It might be going really badly. Some bad things might be happening. The devil might even be attacking you. But I want to encourage you that we have the victory.
Amen.
That the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So who's encouraged this morning that we can be agents of God's joy, no matter the darkness that may surround us, that we may be experiencing or going through, we can still be agents of God's joy. You don't have to have a smiley face or a bubbly personality to be an agent of God's joy. So come on, people, let's spread the word. Theopedia defined joy as a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. I love how we see David bringing himself back to that state of mind in Psalm 43, making the choice to praise God. Psalm 43 says, "Vindicate me, God, and defend my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? Send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God my greatest joy. I will praise you with the lyre, God, my God. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Saviour and my God." Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." I want to encourage you this morning, choose to have a joyful heart and refuse to have a broken spirit. So church, what will we choose as we journey together? We take some knocks. We've taken some knocks this year. Let's be honest, not everything goes the way we plan it. Not everything may have gone the way we planned it this year. You know, when we moved into this building, I thought, we're going to have hundreds. By this time next year, we're going to be packed out. We'll have two services on a Sunday. Hey, that hasn't happened. But we're going to keep proclaiming the gospel.
That's
we're going to keep spreading the word that God is good.
You
know, we take some knocks, but we get back up.
Yeah.
I always think of that song, is it Chumbawamba? I get knocked down, but I get up again. Nothing's ever going to keep me down. You know, we get knocked down, but we get up again.
Yeah.
Because whatever knocks we take, you know, we have that freedom. We have that great freedom that God has blessed us with to make a choice that we will be joyful, that we will keep going and doing the good work. Because of the goodness of God, we are able to be joyful. We don't have to stay in a place where we have a broken spirit. How many of y'all think that's good news this morning? How good God is that he doesn't just leave us with a broken spirit or have a big stick, but he gives us that choice to be joyful. And he says, hey, I'm going to help you get back up. Let's go. What a kind and loving God. The next thing that I just want to remind us of this morning, that God is our helper and faithful friend. Psalm 54:4, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my life. Sustain means to strengthen or support physically or mentally. The King James version of this verse, it says, he upholds my soul, which I liked that. Psalm 117, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look on triumph on my enemies. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble.
Yep.
So the Bible is very clear that God is our helper. How does he help us? Well, we've already discussed that, and there's so many more ways in how he helps us. But he helps us make it through all situations. We know that we can make it through tough times because God is on our side. We can have that confidence that whatever life throws at us, however this Christmas may be, whatever is going on, that we can and we will make it through because God is with us. Andre Crouch, for a song called God is on Our Side. And the words are, we live in troubled times. Seems like the sun won't shine. When will we realise God is on our side? It is good to realise God is on our side. Nothing can separate. He gives us strength to take all that this world may bring. God is on our side. What a faithful God and faithful friend we have. Psalm 36:5 says, Lord, your faithful love reaches to the heaven, your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 34:15, God keeps an eye on his friends. His ears pick up every moan and groan. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I love how the Message translation puts it as, if we give up on him, he does not give up. And I just thought maybe this morning we could just take a moment to think of times when we haven't been full of faith in our responses to situations. Or maybe we've actually given up on some of the words that God has given us. The next verse goes on to say how the face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to erase all memory of them from the earth. So I'm not saying that we can set ourselves against God and not face consequences. These people in this context that David is saying this about, these are people who they've not fallen into sin or just messed up one day, one week, but these are people who have set themselves against God. God's not a soft touch, but he will bear with us. He asks us to persevere, but he is long-suffering towards us. What I'm saying is that maybe we've allowed doubt or cynicism to creep in. Maybe we all have those moments. But in all of our worst moments, God still loves us and he is still a faithful God. God doesn't have a bad day or a day when he's not sure what he thinks about us or not sure how he feels about us or not sure what he believes about us. Isn't that wonderful? We have that confident assurance. You know, in God we have a sure thing. I just think that's fantastic. Psalm 34:19, disciples so often get into trouble. How many of you feel like that? You've got some trouble going on or you get into a little bit of trouble sometimes following the Lord, but still God is there every time. Yep. I love it when we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness and remind ourselves of God's faithfulness through every situation. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. So I want to ask us, church, this morning, will we serve him faithfully? Will we be loyal to Christ in our lives and in all of our decision making? And as I conclude, I just want to talk about provision, sustainability and faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. You might ask yourself, well, how do I actually access all of God's goodness? Keep going and keep doing what you know you should, or if you don't, then I'm going to let you know now, praying and waiting on God, be patient. Bring yourself before God. You see, if God provides, then we have sustainability because our source will never dry up. If our provision is sustainable, then we know that there's a faithfulness because it just keeps on going and keeps on giving. Ultimately, God will provide for us mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and so we are sustained. As far as God's concerned, we'll never come out of that position. If we look back to that psalm early, we see that in response to this, David then has to make the decision that he will live in that. Will we live in that also? David decides that he will live in that provision, that he will allow God to sustain him and will acknowledge God's faithfulness by reciprocating it. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when I said that, you know, the world has this very muddled with positive thinking, which it isn't. This is faith. This is actually choosing to believe what God says and acting upon it. Positive thinking is just saying, God says this, you know, God says that. But we see David moved beyond the positive thinking because he moves it into action. And we discussed this, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, how we said how wonderful it is that he takes stock and he just takes a moment to say, hey, I'm fed up, this is happening, it's all going wrong. But I know that God is good. Amen. And therefore I will do this. I will live my life this way. So thinking about God's goodness is not just something to cheer us up. This is not just something that where we can kind of come out of here with a smile on our face and be like, ah, oh, you know, God's just so good. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that nice? It's actually something that motivates us into action so that we go out of here this morning and we're reminded, God is so good and he is faithful. I'm going to live in his provision. And do you know what? I'm going to be faithful to him also. I'm going to choose to be a joyful worshipper. What David teaches us in the Psalms, I love how he teaches us this, to take a moment of reflection and to actually say, this is who I am, where I'm at, I may be fed up, but because God's good, I'll thank him, focus on his goodness. He doesn't deny his current position. And let's not get mixed up and think that, you know, because we come to church in the morning, we have to say, well, you know, we have to put on any fake smiles or, you know, pretend that we all feel good, because let's be honest, we don't always on a Sunday morning. You know, sometimes we come here with a heavy heart. But God is good. And however you feel, you know, if you have a heavy heart this morning, we make that choice that we will still worship our God because he is worthy of all of our praise. So I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever the knocks that you take or the things that are thrown at you, let's say I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on thanking. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on thanking. Things are pretty rough for David, and they might be pretty rough for you too. But God is good. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you that you are our provider, our helper, our faithful friend, and the source of our joy. May we be people who spread the word about you with lungs that expand with your praise. May we keep on going, keep on praising, keep on thanking God who is worthy of all our praise. Thank you that you are our bright light in the darkness, that we can hold on to you, knowing that your word always remains true. Lord, all of our hope is in you. And God, as you were so good to us, help us to be good also. Help us to be good to those around us. For those of us who are in challenging Christmas situations, Lord, help us to be bright lights in darkness. Help us to be patient. Help us to be kind. Help us to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit this Christmas time, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, that you are so good. Amen.